Previously on The Group Project.
Rasmus, what's your go-to haunt?
Probably like a cafe. You can get good coffee there.
Oh my god, Rasmus, you turn around to see Lilith. You haven't seen George, have you?
Where do you think he would have gone?
If you see him, just tell him to go back to the cafe. You're not getting a particularly good reading. You can definitely feel where he was, right around the corner.
Okay, well I'm gonna go after the version of his aura I got.
So you come around the side of the building, you can see this is where all the smokers were.
I'm gonna make my way over to Morwenna's library.
You come around the side of the building, and you can see this is where all the smokers were.
Oh good, I'm stuck in a loop.
I might have been going to meet with Rasmus. I'm gonna call Emily and Essie.
Hello, Mr. Shadow Man.
It wants to consume you.
So I have a sword, I have a book with a spell.
It almost seems to pull Shadow down with it.
Well, really, all I need is some of its blood.
It's coming down with a tentacle, and it slaps the sword out of your hand.
I would like to try and catch Morwenna.
And you both get away.
We're gonna need to get that sword back.
After I skateboard away, do I spot anything?
Curled up in the corner is a very tall black man.
I'm very, very charming. I'm very charming.
Hi, I'm George.
I may look like a normal human girl, which I am.
You're the only human I've seen for hours.
So I've got the nunchucks in my right hand and my pocket knife in my left hand.
You said you fight monsters? Emily, you bump into Essie and George.
We haven't exactly had a moment.
That's like a supercharged beast that lives between realms.
So now you and it are on either side of the alleyway with the sword in the middle.
I want to go for the sword.
And just slash up the side of one of the tentacles.
I look a little bit panicked.
How much blood did I get on my sword?
I'm just gonna try and slash down an arm.
I want to entangle it with spirits.
Black ooze just starts coming out of it, but everything seems to be normal again.
As we're walking away out of the alley, I'm like, so Essie, you said one of the prom themes could be under the sea.
So, we're gonna start off. Rasmus, about a week ago, you were approached by George, who caught up with you at the coffee shop one day, and he handed you a little envelope, just as a token of thanks. He wanted to thank you for doing what you guys did, and basically saving his life. And it is 2 tickets to the 36th annual Maritime Academy fundraiser. Unfortunately, it's kind of a hot ticket item, so he could only get the 2, so I guess it'll be up to you who you want to bring. But yeah, he thought you would enjoy that. Since they're performing there as well, he managed to snag at least a pair of tickets for you.
Thanks, George. I appreciate it. Don't worry about your life. Life is meaningless.
He doesn't know how to take that. But you've always been a little strange. Now, I'm sure Rasmus is fairly new to the area, so he might not be aware. But when you mention this to the rest of the crew, everyone else seems a little more excited, because of course they know the Maritime Academy fundraiser, Balsamport's premier showcase of local talent. Attended by the graduating class of the Maritime Academy, and the lucky few given the opportunity to purchase tickets, everyone in town just calls it Sailor Prom. On offer is the best food from local restaurants and food trucks, with performances by buskers and students from the local university's drama and music programs. And headlined, as always, by local folk music legend, Daniel Richards.
Well, Rasmus, for all his quirks and faults, isn't really like a crowd person. So he's happy to just give the tickets away to the 2 girls if they're interested in going.
Emily, let's go to Sailor Prom!
Oh my god, yes!
Yes! Bonnie's been talking about the goodies she's bringing there for weeks, and she won't let me try any of them because they're really fancy and hard to make, but I need to try them.
But just so many people. It's gonna be wonderful.
But Emily, there's food. There's so much food.
But the shows, the performances, the songs.
Yeah, they're cool too. Like, yes, very impressive. A showcase of local talent and possibility. And food.
Morwenna, you're not interested in arm wrestling them for one of those tickets?
Good God, no. It's loud and sticky there.
Well, that's good. The big night approacheth. And when you arrive at the venue, it's one of the large halls actually at the Maritime Academy, where they do graduations and such. And upon entering the hall, there is 300 or 400 people milling about. Around the edges, You can see there are small stages set up every so often. There are people playing instruments. You can actually see George and Lilith doing a Shields and Yarnell style acrobatic. I don't know if that's the right word, but sort of performance. There are tables laid out with some very proud-looking restaurateurs standing behind them. You've got, in the center of the room, a large wooden model of a lighthouse, just kind of built up on, you can see the rocks made of wood, and then the whole thing goes right up. It's probably 7 or 8 feet tall. And then at the far end of the hall is the main stage. But there's currently no one up there right now. What do you do?
I feel like, as I go in there, I'm just going to just get really giddy, because the last time Emily was able to get to this, she was a child and her dad worked really hard to get those tickets. So she's really just kind of in this moment of nostalgia, looking around going, it hasn't changed a bit. It's wonderful.
Everything is so pretty. Oh, gosh. Well, people. Pretty. Food. There's some... Essie's just like... a little overwhelmed.
And I should mention, these are some fancy people. These tickets are in short supply, and they are not cheap.
Essie's definitely feeling like 3 class levels too low to be here. Like, she's in a nice dress, but she got it at a nice consignment store, so it's not necessarily, like, as on trend as it. It's nice and it's formal, but it's, like, not necessarily, like, as on trend or like ahead of everything is everything else, and her shoes are a little scuffed and she did her own hair and makeup, like that kind of thing.
So is she getting some looks? Maybe a little side eye?
I think she's getting some looks.
I might be getting some more looks because I'm definitely wearing my best Argyle.
Oh.
But it's professional looking. It's the most business dress type stuff that I would wear to the library on like really important days or anything like that. And Essie probably did my makeup, too.
And I think the last time Essie was anywhere near Sailor Prom, she was, like, working at it. Like, she was...
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I think she's the kind of person who's like, hey, we need a bunch of people who can walk around and hold trays and give people canapes and fancy drinks, like...
Well, you do know the word canape, so that's good. You've passed your first test. I'm just gonna... move that threat off the board. Canape demon. Okay.
She might have done that, like, a couple years. I think Essie went to school, but I don't know if she graduated or not. So maybe when she was a student, she, like, volunteered and then was just kept being on the list of, hey, you did this well last year. Do you want to come do it again? So there's probably any other regular people who are there might recognize her as, oh, you used to be one of the waitress girls and... now you're here. Interesting.
Mm-hmm. So while you're taking in the sights, we're going to jump over to before the game started with Rasmus and Morwenna. Are you two looking to make your pre-game rolls?
Oh, yes. Mine is plus sharp. Okay.
Okay, Rasmus rolled with weird and got a 7, which is a mixed success.
Yeah. They asked me to do something complicated or difficult.
You have actually been set forward... not a complicated task, a simple instruction that could become complicated. You are to best someone.
Okay. And I also get to immediately ask them a question from Investigate a Mystery.
Ask away.
I think I'm going to ask, what is being concealed here?
What is being concealed? There is a device. There is something that will bring destruction upon many.
Yay!
That is what is being concealed.
Awesome. I'm excited about that.
And Morwenna?
I rolled a 7, which means I get to hold 1. I can spend the hold to be where I need to be prepared and ready. So I can hold on to that until suddenly, I don't know, the bun tells me.
In case they run out of canapes.
Or the bun tells me that someone's being mean to a book.
You want to be really careful, because I can make that bun sentient. Like, wait a second, is Morwenna the bun?
She's a part of the bun.
All right. So Morwenna is feeling prepared. Rasmus knows something bad is happening somewhere. And Essie is probably stuffing her face. Emily is concerned.
Yeah, even when it comes to the food that she knows she can take, she's very almost like super polite and hesitant to take anything.
So like the waiters, the people walking around with the little treats almost have to like force them on you?
Yeah, almost. And like, oftentimes if I want like a little snack, I'll actually reach into my bag, because earlier when I met up with Essie, she had brought me some caramels and some black licorice. So like, I'll reach into my bag and just eat some of those.
And I thought I was the old lady.
Ooh, I want you to roll act under pressure. That's definitely an act under pressure roll. Like, to pull that off, to pull candy out of your own bag at this sort of event.
That is cool. I am not very cool.
That's been established.
Oh!
A 12.
I mean, I nailed it.
Yeah.
You did.
You do it with such smooth grace that someone notices and just goes, must be really good. That person must have... Hold on. And you see, just as you kind of look up after popping the candy in your mouth, a woman start coming towards you, probably early 30s. She's dressed very finely. It is an expensive dress that you're not entirely sure how a human goes into it, or how such a thing could exist on its own. It seems like it would just kind of fall to pieces without some sort of form to hold it together. And she comes straight up to you and she says, what do you have there?
Just some licorice and some caramels. Would you like some?
Oh, well, if you've brought something to this, it must be delicious. Absolutely, that would be lovely.
I hand her a piece of caramel and a piece of licorice.
She unwraps them. And as you can see, as she's unwrapping the caramel, her manicure is immaculate. The nails are perfectly even. The color, there's not a single thing out of place. And she pops the caramel into her mouth. Mmm! Oh, these are lovely! Melody, by the way.
Emily?
You just fed a famous person black licorice!
It's so lovely to meet you, Emily. And I don't believe I've ever seen you here before.
Melody, I haven't been here since I was a child. It's been many, many years.
Oh, how precious! I've been here every year, and it's just been wonderful. I remember coming here when I was little tyke, too.
It's just so... everything is just so magnificent and grand here.
It is. It very much is. Really, if I may be quite honest, it's the best event in town all year.
Oh, I can absolutely believe it. Do you happen to know when they're going to start playing some music?
Oh, if you're interested in music, I happen to know an extremely talented musician. Here, just come right over this way. And she kind of takes you by the hand, gently but firmly. She's not really taking this as a suggestion. And escorts you over to a small band over on one side that are playing like more of a folk music. So there's a mandolin, a bodhran, and they're singing... something vaguely sea shanty-ish.
I go there and I go, oh wow, they're so talented.
Oh, they really are wonderful. And I have to say, the one on the drum in the back, he's pretty good on bed as well.
Oh my, Melody.
You know, if you were interested, I could put in a good word for you. I do know many of the eligible bachelors here.
No, thank you. I'm taken by books.
She seems just a little confused. Well, that sounds lovely. Oh, excuse me if you would.
Absolutely.
James! And she's gone.
I look around, try to see if I can find where Essie has gotten off to. And, like, I'm noticeably rigid when I'm looking. Like, I'm like, oh.
Essie is also, like, she's eating food, but also in a way where it's like, so that she's not necessarily facing the crowd, because she would probably know some of the other regular servers and probably know some of the other regular patrons. And she's not quite sure how to deal with either of those groups. So she's just hanging out by the food and occasionally looking up and trying to spot Emily, who she thought was next to her and is not anymore.
Very much disappeared. Then while you're casting about looking for Emily, you take a step backwards and you bump into someone.
I wipe crumbs from my face and turn around.
Excuse me.
Sorry. Yes.
That's, just, I wasn't watching where I was. Louie.
Essie.
Nice to meet you.
Yeah, me too.
How about you roll to investigate a mystery?
Oh, sure. I don't think I'm good at that. What is that skill?
That is a plus sharp.
Oh yeah, I'm not sharp. That's a 4?
Okay.
I leveled up.
Congrats.
Thank you.
So that is a miss. So As you're both kind of stumbling over your apologies, you get a chance to kind of look him up and down. He's well-dressed, nothing exceptional, an older fella, you'd guess probably in his mid to late 40s. And as you're both kind of appraising each other in this awkward moment, you lock eyes for a second. And he just looks at you and stands up a little bit, just goes, "Well, yeah, I'm sorry about that. I'll just be on my way."
Yeah, gotta.
He turns and he kind of wanders back off.
Weird. Turn around. Try and find Emily. Also, immediately after this weird encounter with Louis, she's gonna reach over and she'll, and then walk off to try and find Emily.
As I walk around the room, like, kind of looking around, I am listening to the music and stuff like that, and I start to get a little bit more comfortable.
Okay. Starting to loosen up a little.
Yeah. I still feel a little bit awkward, but if a waiter comes up to me, I'm not like, I'll just politely decline or...
So you're not really taking part in any of the food that's coming towards you? All the stuff they've got laid out on the tables? Nothing catches your eye?
Well, nothing yet, anyways. But I've mostly, like, for me, it was... When I was a kid, I wasn't allowed to eat any of the adult food sort of thing. Like, I wasn't allowed alcohol, and hors d'oeuvres were very gross as a kid. And I kind of have that mentality still associated with that memory, but I always remember, like, everything being so grand and the music being so wonderful that that's sort of what I'm enamored by. And when I was little, I was a lot more bold in that I was much more comfortable to kind of just wander indiscriminately. But as an adult, I'm a little bit more aware of those social aspects of you don't just completely wander off.
Except when some strange, fabulous lady carries you off somewhere.
Well, it's more I wasn't really able to resist her pulling on me.
No, you very much weren't.
Have I been able to find her yet?
Let's see.
I do stand out.
Yeah, you do. Head and shoulders above the rest.
I do think I find some food section that does appeal to me. It's a little bit like, I don't know, it's a more common food.
So kind of like someone who's like a food truck, like a taco truck kind of thing? Little tiny taco sliders?
Yeah, like something that I would look at and go, oh, that's definitely normal food.
Right. Do you recognize the restaurant? I mean, they're just food trucks, right?
Yeah, I think I do. I think this food truck is one that isn't often by the library, but the library is part of its rotation, or that general area.
Do you remember what it's called?
I think it's just called the Jalapeno Roller. And so, like, everything they have is a little bit spicy, but it's one that I've partaken in several times. Whenever they're around, really, because I just like having the variety of lunches. So I see their food and I go up and go, okay, good, I can eat this. And I do start partaking in some of that.
So you go to them fairly regularly?
Yeah, I would say like every time they are in the walking distance of the library, I would go there because like it's probably only twice a month.
So as you come up to the table, you happen to run into Stefan, who seems more than happy to see you. Hey, I didn't know you were coming tonight.
Hey, Stefan.
Oh, man, I got something good. I got something real good for you tonight. Hold on. Where did I, these ones right here. This is a new recipe I want to try out. And if it goes over well here, I think I'm going to put it in the rotation on the truck. So he hands you, you know, a couple little sliders there.
Oh, my. I take them pretty excitedly. And they're big enough that they're usually like 2 bites for me, I guess. So I take that first bite of one and,
Roll for deliciousness.
Yeah, like how do I determine if it's delicious or not? Because I think it's probably delicious.
Yeah, no, he's definitely on his game tonight. So, hey, is that a keeper? It's a keeper, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I knew it.
This is really, really good. What's different?
Okay, and he kind of leans across the table a little conspiratorially.
And I lean in a little bit, too.
So, I've been working on this new spice mix, and I don't want to really go into the details, you know, the specifics about it, but it's a little more Eastern than Western, if you know what I'm saying. And he gives a little glance about. I think it's a pretty good mix.
It's really good, Stefan. This is my new favorite.
I'm glad to hear it. So, you schmoozing with high society now? That library gig pays pretty good, huh?
I wish, no. One of my friends was able to snag some tickets, and he didn't want them, so he offered them to Essie and I.
Are you for real? I've been trying to get in here in this thing for... Jeez, it's 3 years now. Like, I only just got it. That's so awesome!
Right?
So you, you're gonna go around, meet some people, make some connections, do a little networking.
I'm still loosening up a bit. I'm not really, like, well, I mean, everybody here is very fancy, and...
Oh, yeah? You see this girl running around, the dress on her, like, that thing I am certain is worth more than my truck.
Are you talking about Melody?
Could be. I don't know, she's just here, she's out, she's gone.
Her dress looks like it's gonna fall off.
Yeah, that's the one. That's the one right there. And she is just all over the place. It's crazy. I swear, I've seen her talking to more people tonight than I ever see in a whole day.
Wow, she's a busy bee.
Yeah, she definitely doesn't slow down. I mean, she was here for about 30 seconds, kind of scanned the table and just gone. Decided I wasn't worth her time. Whatever. Who needs her?
That's very similar to, like, she saw me eating some candy, so I offered her some, and then she dragged me to show me a band. They're really good. Were you able to hear them over there? And I kind of point in the direction. I can't remember what they were called, but...
Yeah, I saw them over there, but, you know, it's so noisy in here. I think I've seen them before in a bar, though.
Really?
Yeah, I can't remember what their name was. They were... Like Harborside?
I'm gonna have to go talk to them again.
Yeah, could be. I don't know, but you take care of yourself. Come back for more. Absolutely come back, though.
Oh, I absolutely will. And I'll tell you what, if I find any good competition out here for you, I'll snag the recipe for you.
Good luck doing that. There ain't nobody is doing as good in here as me.
Well, I can believe that.
All right. You have a good night, then, Emily.
You too, Stefan. And... as I turn around from there, I'm going to look in the crowd and I feel a little bit emboldened now, like I've participated in the event.
All right. I did an interaction.
I did an interaction with somebody that I was comfortable with. So I'm going to be looking around, still looking for Essie, but also keeping an eye out for, like, Melody, because I feel like I could maybe have another conversation with her or anybody else that, like, I might even recognize from the library.
How about you give me a read a bad situation? This isn't really a bad situation, but it's probably the closest one that approximates.
Bad situation is sharp. That's this one. A 5.
Oof.
So I get an experience point.
Yeah.
I also feel like the years that Essie worked this, whoever was, like, managing the staff didn't let her use Essie, and there's definitely people in this room who would be determined to refer to her as Esther, and she does not want to find them, because that's her, like, birth name.
Okay.
But she always goes by Essie, but I feel like whoever was in charge of her was like, no, your name is Esther, because this is a proper event and we don't use nicknames. And she is actively not trying to find that person.
Okay.
That's probably what makes it so hard for us to find each other, because you're kind of trying to dodge all these people.
Yeah. And, like, not run into the regulars, but trying to find Emily and have people not think she's working the event.
Surely one of you is psychic, right?
I was actually just about to ask for a hunch.
I can do that. That one is... sharp. Okay, there we go. Ooh. I leveled up.
You're kind of looking around the hall a little bit, and you find yourself sort of subconsciously kind of stepping back from the crowds a little bit. You know, you were feeling good, but maybe just need a little breather. Just, you know, take a step back. Maybe in the hall a little bit. Hey, it's not bad out here.
Yeah, that is something I would actually do, because I do like just exploring places.
And you find yourself in one of the hallways outside the main hall. It's cooler, it's quieter, there's really no one around right now. There's just kind of the sounds of the fundraiser kind of fade away a little bit as you walk down the hallway. And you can see there are pictures up on the walls of the various graduating classes and the professors that they have here. And as you're coming down the hallway, you're kind of looking up at the pictures, and you actually run into someone and just fall all over them. And you are currently falling. How about an act under pressure? See if you can recover this one.
I'm going to try and catch myself, or at least, you know, like, cover my face sort of thing. Act under pressure is cool. Better.
A 9. So you have actually tripped over a person who is crouching down on the ground. And the choice I'm going to give you is that if you are going to save yourself from just eating shit on the tile, you're gonna knock this person, like, you're taking them down.
Yeah, let's do that.
All right. You actually come down hard and sort of glance off this one guy. So as you fall, you twist and land more on your shoulder, but you've been slowed down. But in the fall, you actually just kind of smash his face right into one of the benches.
Oof.
It's a slab bench, right? Just a big block of wood with legs on it. And you just crack his head right into it. And he hits the ground hard. What do you do?
As soon as I'm able to get myself up, I rush over to him and I go, oh my god, oh my god, oh my god, are you okay? And I try to assess the situation, see if he's like bleeding or if he's breathing and talking and all of the standard first aid procedures.
He's definitely conscious. He's dazed and is like not swinging his arm, but he's trying to like brush you off. He's got his left hand on his face and his right, he's just kind of, it's fine. Holy fuck.
I'm so sorry.
What the fuck were you doing? And he's an older gentleman. You would guess probably near 50, dressed like many of the other people in a suit. And you can see, like, he hit with his cheek, and it's scraped a bit. So he's kind of got this red abrasion on the side of his face, and probably a pretty good bruise that's going to form on his forehead.
Ooh, that looks pretty bad. I'm so sorry. I wasn't really paying attention to where I was walking.
It's fine. It's fine. Just leave me. And he kind of like pushes himself up onto the bench and sits there. And as he's sitting there.
Can I fetch you some ice?
No. Just leave me alone.
Oh, okay. Are you okay?
You can investigate a mystery if you'd like.
Yeah, let's do that.
Are you doing this
psychically?
Yeah, are you going to do it psychically or are you going to do it mundanedly?
Yeah, I'm just going to kind of read his mind to make sure that he's actually, like, my intention is to see if he's actually okay, but I'm going to do it as I'm leaving. So, like, I'm going to be kind of walking away.
Nice.
All right, that's a 10. So, you hold 2. What would you like to ask me?
So, the first question, the one that I had on my mind was, is he actually okay? Like, he's just hurt, and but, like, nothing serious or anything.
When you reach into his mind, you don't pick up on anything life-threatening. Like, he's not in a lot of pain. It sucks, it hurts, but you feel a lot of stress. And it doesn't feel totally related to the pain. So he's not exactly okay, from what you can tell, but you're not sure you really caused it.
Okay. I would like to continue perusing his mind a little bit, just out of curiosity. So I kind of want to know what is bothering him. So I'm going to see if I can, like, squeegee around or whatever and find something that might indicate that there.
He has something important to do. He is very preoccupied with making sure that it goes well tonight. And you've just smashed his face into a bench. And he's a little concerned that's going to slow him down.
I'm going to assume that maybe he's just, like, an MC or responsible for organizing something at the event, which I would personally assume is incredibly stressful since this is, like, the biggest thing in town.
It would be.
So I'm going to kind of chalk it up with that there, and I'm going to give him his space, and I'm going to return to the party. But I'm, like, it's weird. I would have imagined he would have been angrier. Seemed like the type.
Yep. No, it was definitely the emotions you felt. I mean, there was obvious, like, anger, but it was really just surface level. You can tell that his concentration, his mind is definitely on something else entirely.
I want to go back to the party, and I'm going to find some people playing some music. Particularly looking for somebody doing vocals, like singing of some sort.
All right, and as you come in, you actually sidle right up next to Essie, who is chowing down at a table that is right next to just there's a single female vocalist, a woman in front singing. It seems not Enya exactly, but it's her. She's
Enya-esque?
Something like, kind of like a Rankin family type thing. I can't remember exactly which song I'm thinking of, but there'd be one of those where it's, you know, one of those sadder, probably about an Irish widow type songs. And there's another woman in the back who's picking away at the guitar, just doing a very slow, kind of sad ballad.
When I see Essie there, I go, oh, there you are. Isn't their song beautiful?
I found Bonnie's bonbons.
Oh, Bonnie has a place here?
Well, she does these, like...
Oh, really, that's right. You were
I don't know, one-of-a-kind things. And she holds up a couple that she's got in her hand, and they're the ones that have, like... It almost looks like it's watercolors on top, like the little chocolates that have, like, the color splatters on top that are really, really fancy looking. And, like, the little cakes.
That's right, that's right. You did say that. How are they? Where is she? I should go grab some.
I haven't actually tried them yet because they're too pretty, and I remember prepping this mold, and that was a lot of work, and I don't want to destroy it yet, so I'm just kind of standing here holding a chocolate and listening to the singer. But yeah, so how's your night going?
I met this lady. She kind of dragged me off to listen to a band. It was really, really good, actually.
Oh.
Yeah, and then I saw Stefan.
Oh, he's here?
Yeah, he is. And you have to, he has this, like, new recipe. It is so good. Like, it's my new favorite, and you know I'm picky with his food, so.
Oh. Yeah, it takes a lot for you to, like, change your ranking.
Yeah. And then I needed a little bit of a breather, so I stepped out. And I bumped into this guy. I don't know. I accidentally knocked him down. He kind of got hurt. He was very, very preoccupied with something. He seemed to be a little bit busy. So, like, he's okay, but I feel bad about it a little bit.
Are we talking, like, normal person busy and preoccupied? Or, like, we should call Morweda, like, busy and preoccupied?
He seemed...
And she gives her this look.
I want to do a little bit of a psychic feel for the room. More... Because, like, I hadn't really thought about it like this to compare to, like, anybody who is, like, either running one of the little food things or anybody who looks like they might be organizing something. Just get a benchmark of where somebody's stress levels should be at this event.
Okay, sure. Well, give me another investigative mystery then.
Can do.
I also, like, I accidentally knock this guy over, you say, after consciously deciding to use him like a crash mat.
Well, it was an accident that I fell.
Right.
That was a consequence.
Really, it was his fault for being there.
Exactly.
Being so squishy.
That's a 9.
That is.
So you get to hold 1. So you're looking for...
I'm really just trying to gauge how stressed people who aren't enjoying the event is.
You may have a little difficulty controlling for just having their faces smashed. Do you want to smash some faces just to kind of even the playing field?
No.
The lady on stage, like, I mean, she's got a great voice, but you're pretty sure you could take her if you had to.
No, I think I'm just, like, trying to get a general sense of, like, everybody here is, like, I know it's a high-stress situation for these people, but there was, like, something off about how he kind of came off, and I haven't been able to place it, so.
All right, so focusing in on some of the performers and the... I keep wanting to say restaurateurs. I guess that's the best I've got. The chefs here. You feel it's tension. There's definitely stress. But this is what these, like, these are the best in town, right? This is what they live for, is showing off what they can do, having people appreciate their work. So there is stress, but it's almost like a joyful kind of thing, right? There isn't...
And I think that's the difference. I think, like, I would...
You don't feel anyone that's really out of their mind, you know, I have to go perform surgery blindfolded, but let me hit this joint first, kind of, like, stressed out. These people are all, they're under stress, but they're doing what they love.
Okay. Yeah, Essie, I didn't think about it before, but I did get some really, like, odd vibes from this guy. I mean, is it weird that he wasn't, like... I don't think it's that weird that I went out in the hallway, but is it weird that anybody else here would be out in the hallway?
From what I remember, like, it's, you know, people step out sometimes just to catch a breath because it can get kind of stuffy in here, just, like, a little claustrophobic, I guess.
You do remember there was no one out in the hall, which is why you weren't paying attention in the first place.
Oh, and yeah, he kind of came out of nowhere.
He came out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. Accidentally fell down.
Okay. Was he, like, an older guy? Okay, this is gonna be really hard to deduce because...
I didn't give you any physical descriptions.
And they all look the same. They're all old guys in suits. I also bumped into a guy earlier, but I was also walking backwards and by the food table. And I think it's just because we're clumsy. But now you got me thinking about it, right? Oh, I blame Rowena. Like, now she's got me all, like, paranoid about the paranormal and...
This morning it was a weird vibe anyways, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean, but what would Morwena do?
Glower? Make comments about sticky fingers and crowded places? Don't go to the third floor! Don't go in my office! That sort of thing?
Stop skateboarding in the stacks!
No more popcorn!
Don't lick the books, Essie!
Right? Like, even when I bring my own laptop, she's making comments about me leaving fingerprints on it. On my laptop! It's my laptop! They're my fingerprints!
How much Cheeto dust do you exude?
It's like I can hear her now.
Do you want to go check on him again?
Yeah, I'm gonna go, Essie, you know what? I'm gonna look around and see if I can find him again, because, like, I don't know, there's just something off about him.
Are you gonna go looking for him, or go see if he's back out in the hallway?
That's where I'm gonna start. I'm gonna go back to the hallway and see if he's there, and I'm gonna kind of beeline it, but as I'm there, I'm gonna be, like, scanning quickly.
Essie, are you going along?
Yeah, I'll go with you. I'm getting a little, claustrophobic.
Then how about you can give me an investigate a mystery?
Can I try and help?
I don't think she's gonna need it.
She does not need my help.
She's got it. So on a 12 plus, 10 plus is hold 2, 12 plus is ask any question you want. So I guess you can take your pick there. We've been playing a little loose with the investigate a mystery requirements.
That's okay. We're having fun. So as I'm looking around, I guess I want to know, I kind of look at all of, like, the performers, the restaurateurs, anybody who is part of the staff of any sort. And I think I notice, like, something kind of like a name tag or a badge or something that they have on. And what I want to know is if this person had a badge on, and I really try to think about that.
I mean, typically the guests don't.
Okay, that's what I was deducing, is whether he was a guest or not. As soon as I realize that there, I go, ooh, it is really weird that he would be this stressed at, like, or, well, that kind of stressed at this sort of event.
The performers don't have name tags on. I suppose some of them might have little displays or signs or something. Obviously, the restaurant staff, I mean, they would have names on their shirts or on their jackets, along with, you know, the whole restaurant name. And then all the wait staff that you see circulating around have name tags on, but this person did not.
Is he back at the bench?
So are you asking me, where did it go?
Yeah, where did it go? Where did he go?
Then, as you come over to the spot where you ran into him, you can see that the bench is still a little bit askew, and you notice there's actually a smudge of blood on the bench itself.
I lean in, like, I get a little bit closer to that, and I go, ooh.
It's bright red. Like, it's not blood red. It's bright red.
Like, glowing?
No, it's just not blood-colored. And upon closer inspection, it appears to be like a grease pencil lead that's been smeared on. And what you notice is there's more underneath the bench on the wall. You catch a glimpse of some more grease pencil marks. And it looks like a summoning circle.
Dun dun dun!
I go, call Morwena right now.
She doesn't normally answer me when I try and contact her.
Here's my phone!
Okay, I will take Emily's phone and... Does she know how to text? She, like, call?
Yeah, Morwena knows how to text, yeah.
Does she text?
Sometimes. Put SOS in the message. It'll be fine. I'm looking around for spirits or anything like that there. I'm trying to figure out how much of this magic circle I recognize.
Sure. I say summoning circle because I don't exactly have the magical lexicon. When you look at it a little more closely, it's not summoning so much as it is defining a boundary. And it's small. It's only about the size of, like, your outstretched hand.
Pass me your phone.
I will pass Emily my phone, and then text to Morwena, SOS, Sailor Prom, as one text message, and then right afterwards I'll send spooky old shit.
And as she does that, I'm taking a picture of the magic circle and texting that to Morwena at the same time.
So I have SOS, Sailor Prom, spooky ass shit.
Coming from Emily.
From Emily, and then from Essie, a picture of a summoning circle.
Yeah.
All right. Well, because I know I'm going to be going into spooky shit, probably, as a result of this, I will do another thing. But before I leave, I guess I'm going to investigate a mystery because I can use my lore library, where I get +1 forward to investigate a mystery, so long as historical or reference works are appropriate. So, spooky shit, spooky circle. All right, so I just got to roll sharp. So I got an 8.
Mixed success. See, I think the +1 is to the roll, isn't it?
Oh, sorry, yeah. So yeah, you're right. So it's 9.
which is still a mixed success.
I guess we know in general it's about making a barrier, but I guess I can go with, what can it do?
What can it do? It is used generally to define an area, but you know there would have to be others, and it's usually used in order to focus, like as a focal point for an effect. Like Star Trek, when they got to set up the little transponders for the transporter, because plot reasons. Yeah, your lore library relates everything back to Star Trek, by the way. I just decided that now.
Mainly because the books are written by fucking nerds.
So I am going to prepare myself using my mystical library, which means that I prepare myself using my Tomes of Grimoires. That'll give me a +1 forward when I use magic.
All right, sounds good.
I think it only works once, but we'll say that in preparedness. And then I guess I will appear using my ability with the plan.
Well, you will find yourself at the front door, and you're going to spend your hold?
I suppose to get inside, we'll do that. I show up with whatever I need to have to get into Sailor Prom and not just stand outside yelling loudly at Essie and Emily.
So the reason you were okay with just letting the girls go is because, as a reference archive, the Maritime Academy does offer you a ticket sort of as a courtesy, as a thank you for letting their students use your library. So you have a ticket. It just so happens. You just weren't interested in using it.
No, it's sticky there.
So you show up at the door, you present your ticket, and you come in. No problem at all.
All right. I'm going to go and find Emily and Essie in the hall and see if I can suss out some more shit about this summoning circle. I haven't told them I'm about to appear. I'm just about to appear. I also shoot off a text to Rasmus that shit might be going down, and I don't know how he's going to get in, but sorry!
All right, so you go in, you're in the hallway, and you just kind of materialize behind the girls.
What have you found?
Morena, right here, look, there's... I wasn't sure if I should, you know, break the circle or anything, but there's this magic circle, and we don't usually see these out in public when good things are happening, so...
So reiterate again what I know about this circle. Just see if I think I should break it or not.
It's used as a boundary or a focal point. I mean, it can be adjusted. You know, you can't be 100% certain, but it's used to define an area either to contain something, to contain an effect, to focus a power, but without knowing what it's focusing or containing or defining, or exactly what area it's applying to, you're not sure what breaking the circle could actually do.
So I'm going to say we leave it then, but I'm going to take some better pictures of it with my phone to reference back to later.
Also, Essie and I swap phones.
Swap back, you mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Perfect. I mean, I know this place pretty well. I could probably scurry around and see if there's any others.
Excellent.
That's probably a good idea.
I know the kind of sneaky waiter hallways and things that make it so we kind of appear.
We can split up and see if we can find more circles, and then let me know if you find one, and if I haven't found one yet, I'll come to you.
So, like, meet back here in, say, like, 10 minutes, or...?
Yeah, that sounds good.
Question.
Yes?
Would I know of a back door that I could sneak Rasmus in?
If you were gonna try and get Rasmus in, I guess you could roll for that sort of thing.
Because where I have worked these events before...
I believe that would be under read a bad situation. What's my best way in?
Sure.
Dun dun.
So you could try and read a bad situation to try and figure out how you can get some backup.
Sharp?
That is plus sharp.
Ah, another experience point.
So as you're skulking around near one of the back doors, you actually see a rather stern-looking individual. He is in a nice suit, but it does not hide the rather largeness of him.
Right. Do I recognize him?
He's definitely one of the guys who works security. No one who works this job is, you know, particularly prone to violence, but you also know that they're not going to put up with any shit.
Yeah.
Excuse me. You can't be back here.
I got a little turned around.
That's fine. How about you turn yourself back towards the rest of the party?
Yeah, of course. Wait. Jerry, is that... I haven't seen you since...
Do you want to roll a manipulate someone?
I would love to.
Go for it.
That's press charm?
Roll them digital bones.
Manipulate someone.
Digital Bones will be the name of my cyberpunk book.
I don't think I've got anything that helps me.
Do you have any charm?
I am quite charming. I am +2 charm.
Oh, okay, good.
That's an 8.
Hey!
Success.
All right.
Finally.
So, he will do something for you, but only if you do something for them right now to show that you mean it. So, what's your best excuse?
It's me. It's Esther from, I think you worked the event 2 years ago, which I think was the last time. I'm going to pull up my phone and I'm going to quickly scan through and get to the group picture of the last event where we took a picture of everyone working it. And be like, I looked a bit different. My hair is a little bit longer there, but man, I haven't seen you in 2 years, I guess.
Okay, I mean, that's great, but come on, if you've worked this before, you know you can't be back here. This isn't for the guests.
Okay. This is going to be really weird, Jerry, but I need you to just, like, ride this roller coaster with me for a second.
Okay.
There was this weird thing that was drawn on one of the benches in the hallway, and I need to get my friend in, who's a bit of an expert on these kinds of things, to make sure that there's nothing dangerous. Promise that you and I are on the same side, and I'm using trust me.
Okay.
When you tell a person the truth in order to protect them from danger, roll +charm.
I mean, you did have a success with the manipulate someone already.
Yeah, so that got me into, like,
not immediately getting thrown out.
Yeah, now I'm trying to be like, please let me get to the back door so I can get my friend in here so we can not let the bad things happen. Oh, please roll well. 7!
What's a 7 get you?
On a 7 to 9, they do it, but the keeper chooses one. Either they ask a hard question first, they stall and dither a while, or they have a better idea.
All right. Esther, fine. We'll let your friend in. Just tell him to be around the back door in 15 minutes. I'll let him in. I just can't do it right now. My manager is doing rounds. Once he's passed, I'll let him in. Okay?
Jerry, you are a literal lifesaver, and you... Thank you. Thank you. I will let him know. Thank you. I owe you, like, 10.
Yeah, well, make it up to me by just not telling anyone, okay?
And do the, like, draw my fingers across my lips and throw away the key thing.
Cool.
Thank you.
And he kind of wanders off a little bit.
And I will inconspicuously also wander off and call Rasmus and be like, be at the back door in 15 minutes. A big buff guy's gonna let you in.
So we are popping back to Morwena and Emily. So you are looking around for more symbols?
Yeah, I think we split up to do that. So I think I kind of went back into like the party-ish area, like to kind of cut through the room to the other side.
So I think this is still investigating a mystery.
That's sharp. I'm also keeping an eye out for Buddy.
Emily rolled a 7. So you actually do find another symbol. It's located on the far side. How's the easiest way to do this? Let us imagine the hall, the Great Hall, with the main stage sitting at the north end, and it is like a basketball court, right? So it's long. So at the north end is the main stage, and then you've got lighthouse in the middle, tables down the sides, little stages scattered about. You found the one symbol down in the southeastern corner in the hallway, and then you actually spot another one of them just sort of peeking out from behind the curtains on the side of the main stage at the northeastern corner. So you found one there.
Okay, I snap a picture and text it to Morwena. At this point, I'm gonna start like trying to spirity feel like anything, like a magical aura, or I'm trying to imagine the line between the two that we found, and I'm trying to see if there's like, if I get any kind of weird feelings there compared to anywhere else in the room.
Would that be a use magic roll?
I think so.
To like feel out ley lines or something?
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm going for. So that would be weird. 8.
It works imperfectly. Choose your effect and glitch. I think it's do one thing that is beyond human limitations to feel out magical energies.
Yeah, I think that's the one there. And then my glitch is, it has a problematic side effect.
So as you're focusing in on this particular symbol, you can feel, you're feeling trapped. It's just, there's a lot of people. It's a little warm in here. It's a bit stuffy. You don't feel good being in here right now, in the main hall.
Very claustrophobic.
It's pressing in a little bit on you. You can almost feel the symbol as you're looking at it, like, it almost, you don't feel warmth coming off of it, but you feel hot. You feel stuffy.
I'm gonna panic a little bit with that, and I'm gonna try to find some sort of respite somewhere back into a hallway, or...
As soon as you're out of the main hall, you feel better. It's cooler out here. Like I said, it's cooler, it's quieter, the lights aren't as bright. It feels better to not be in front of that symbol there. Morwenna, you're also looking for symbols, right?
Oh, yes.
Well, you want to roll an investigate a mystery for me?
12.
Wow. So you find yours very quickly in what would be the southwestern corner of the main hall. Actually, outside, in the outside hall on that... I'm saying side too many times. Anyway, in basically an equivalent place outside the main hall, on the wall, underneath a bench. Similar to the first one you guys found.
Can I suss out what the symbol is for, please?
It is exactly the same as the other one you found. I mean, you can tell it was drawn by hand. I mean, so it's not like a photocopy, but all the same marks are there.
Is the one that Emily sent me a picture of, like with her location, if I do sort of a rough map in my head, do they form like a triangle barrier around?
They are at four corners of the Great Hall.
Okay, so they have enclosed the Great Hall, essentially.
Yeah, you found one at the northwest, southwest, and southeast corners of the Great Hall.
So I could assume there's one in the northeast.
That would be an interesting thing to test.
I'm going to head northeast and see if it's there.
While you're heading over there, Rasmus, you find yourself at the back door, assuming you heeded the summons.
Yeah, I showed up. I mean, I don't really have much else better to do.
And the door is cracked open just a little bit, and you see a rather large individual in a nice suit hold it open and just kind of give you an odd glance, because I'm assuming you don't have a whole lot of wardrobe choices.
No, I mean, Rasmus is a pretty standard-looking dude, though. Like, he's not gross-looking, but he's not tails and tuxes. Hello.
Are you Esther's friend?
Yeah, he's Rasmus.
Okay. Just, come on in, man.
Is there any way to not go into the party?
You're in the back right now. So you're in one of the farther entrances in the academy?
Yeah, no, I understand that. I'm trying to see if he can tell me a way to get around without having to go into, like, the main ballroom.
Yeah, man, just, like, stick to the halls, I guess. I mean, it's probably better for you if you don't go in there. You'd stand out a little bit without a suit on or something.
Yeah, last time I went to this kind of thing, there was a lot of blood, so I'm good.
Essie would have, like, hid out in a nearby-ish hallway so that she could listen for Rasmus, and when she heard him coming by, she could, like, meet up with him and be like, okay, so here's what's going on, and, like, give him the rundown.
Okay. All right, dude. Like, yeah, just head down the hall and, oh, man, blood. Don't tell anyone I let you in, okay? If anyone finds you, just say you snuck in or something.
Yeah, you got it.
Okay, he, like, locks the door and then just kind of books it down the hall. So, Essie, you're catching up with Rasmus?
Yeah, like, waiting in a nearby hallway, away from things, so that she could not be suspicious, but also, like, meet up with Rasmus so he's not wandering around lost.
Yeah, well, I mean, we'll find our way, I assume.
Yeah. So, Emily and I found this weird symbol, and her and Morena have gone to look for more, and she got that vibe that she gets when things get weird. So, heads up, spooky shit, in a crowded auditorium full of civilians.
That's fine, it's the most fun location.
See, you keep saying things like that, Rasmus, and it makes me very concerned for my personal health and well-being.
I'm relatively certain you're going to be fine.
You say that, but somehow I'm fighting monsters on a couple monthly basis. Like, there's so much weird shit in this world, Rasmus. This is a lot.
Essie?
Yes?
I'm weirder than the weird things we see.
Were you trying to be comforting? Was that...
I wasn't comforting?
We'll work on that. We'll work on that in our next How to Act Like a Normal Human lesson.
I like the last one. Memes are good.
They are very good, Rasmus. Just make sure that when it's time for them to die, you let them die and move on to the next one.
So did we find any bodies, or...
Not yet, just weird circles in red. Not blood, just red.
Okay, well, let's go find some bodies then. And we're going to run off towards the symbols.
All right, Emily, can you give me another hunch roll?
I absolutely can. 6. So that's a miss.
More experience.
Yay.
So your hunch leads you back. You're up around one of the corners, and you can actually see Marwena coming towards you. You're in the northeastern corner right now, because you can feel as you move closer to the main hall, you can feel that kind of pressing in feeling more, and it sort of intensifies towards that corner, and it leads you to another symbol. Same as the other two that you've seen. Just as Marwena comes up at the same time.
I go, oh, good. Marwena, there's another one here.
Excellent.
I kind of reached out a little bit, and I get this just, it's very, very overwhelmingly, like, it's pressing in on me. Like, it's like it's trying to compress everything in this party.
I'm going to take a peek at that old symbol. Is it the same as the others, or?
Yep. Looks the same as the other three.
All right. So using my knowledge combined with the fact that there was four encircling a location, would I be able to suss out possibly what they would be using this for if I do another investigation in my brain palace?
Sure. I think this is a read a bad situation.
Ooh, 11.
An 11?
Nice.
So you hold three.
I will go with what's the biggest threat, as in, like, what is the worst possible outcome of this set of symbols, etc.?
The biggest threat with these symbols is, from what you can tell, like, these symbols in and of themselves aren't particularly dangerous. Like, they don't really have an effect. They're used, since you can tell that they're containing an area, they're used to amplify an effect. So your biggest threat is whatever that these would be amplifying.
All right. What is the most vulnerable to me? So what could I do to fuck this up?
The most vulnerable would be to find the focal point of the, it's not a circle, but of the area, because that's sure to be the focal point of this entire ritual that's going on. And that would be your most vulnerable point in order to stop it.
And then I guess what's the best way to protect the victims? So I guess the rest of the party.
The best way to protect the victims would be to, it would be to stop the ritual, well, obviously stop the ritual before it gets started.
All right, so if we have 4 points on the outside of this building, then the focal point has to be on the inside of this building. So we need to get inside and find wherever they're casting.
Are you saying that out loud? Are you saying that to me?
Yes. After I do that Sherlock Mind Palace shit for a while. Blah, wow,
wow, wow. I go, well, I mean, like, when I use my powers in there, like, I can really feel it. Like, I can maybe try and use that to see where it's the strongest, but I don't know if I can keep it up.
If we can just do a hot, cold, roughly, that'll give us a good direction to start.
Well, why don't I give it a shot? So, I want to use my magic to sort of do that sensing thing, but gonna walk into the party a little bit and try to hot and cold it, I guess.
Sounds good.
So, use magic. That's a 9.
Which is, works imperfectly.
So, I'm going to say problematic side effect again, because I like that one.
As you step into the Great Hall, you can feel, just like before, it all kind of presses in on you, but it's even worse right now. Normally, when you're walking around, you can always feel kind of the edges of people's minds as you brush past them. It's almost inverted right now. You don't feel the brushes of their minds. You just feel, like, body heat.
Mm-hmm. So it's, as far as, like, my psychic powers go, it's like I'm in complete silence, which is terrifying.
Yeah, you've got nothing as far as being able to psychically reach out, and it is taking all of your concentration to feel around inside of this area. So you get the feeling any sort of magic in here is going to be very difficult.
I step out again. I need to get some air again. Like, it's very intense. And I go, Marwena, I don't know if it's suppressing magic or what, but wow. I can't even read people's minds in there. It's really off.
Old-fashioned way, then, I guess.
When you go in there, it's big, it's heavy. Like, I guess we could go to a different spot in the room and I could try again and compare, but I need a minute to breathe.
Well, you take a minute. I'll look around while you take a moment.
Essie and Rasmus, what are you looking for right now? Where are you at?
Trying not to get lost in the halls on the way back to where we would meet up with Emily and Marina.
Yeah, trying to get back.
I'd like to stumble across something important, because that would be fun.
As you're walking down one of the hallways a little farther out from the main hall, you actually find a stub of red grease pencil down, like, kind of in the corner up against the wall.
And are we still, like, a couple twists and turns away from, like, the main...
Yeah, you're a little ways out.
I'll go over and pick it up and bring it over to Rasmus and be like, this is what they used to draw the circle. This is what the circle that Emily and I found was. But why is it this far? Unless they were trying to not get themselves locked? I don't know.
Do you want to read a bad situation or investigate a mystery?
Sure.
I think this is read.
Plus sharp. I am not sharp. This is probably not going to go well.
Rasmus can help.
7!
Oh, okay.
She's fine.
Helping will not help.
She's fine.
She's got it.
I'm Essie's sidekick anyway. We all know that.
That was a read a bad situation, right?
Yep. So that gives you a hold 1.
I would say, are there any dangers we haven't noticed? Because this seems a little far away from the party for this to be here. So she's kind of got a little... alert.
You actually, as you're kind of like rolling the grease pencil back and forth in your hand, you notice just a little farther down the hall, there's some light coming out from under one of the bathroom doors. And it seems to be the only one that's lit. Like there's like two bathrooms side by side, and you can see one has a light on, one doesn't. And none of the other rooms in this hallway have lights on right now.
Yeah, and I imagine from her past experiences, like, the staff have the washrooms that they use, and then these are the guest washrooms, and then everything else is pretty much off limits.
Yep. What do you do?
That's not supposed to be on. That's someone... Rasmus?
Yeah?
That's weird, because... I don't know, maybe some people are just doing hanky-panky, which sometimes happens, but is it like a single bathroom, or is it like a stalled bathroom?
You don't remember.
Okay. I mean, we could knock on the door, but I don't know.
Looking at the door, you can see it's just a push door. There doesn't seem to be a latch on it.
Essie, if you were setting up a trap, where would you go when you wanted to trigger it?
Not in it. Far, far away from it.
Right. So, what do you think we should do with this mysterious light?
See, here's the thing, Rasmus. I'm new to this whole, like... endangering humans thing. This might be more of your wheelhouse. Would that be where the person setting the trap is hiding, or the thing to set it off, in your experience?
They're probably the same thing.
You figured it out. It's to concentrate the bathroom stink. Open that door and everyone will be killed.
I mean, what's the worst case scenario, right? If we go in and someone is just having hanky-panky, then we just leave.
But if it's a trap that then sets off an unstoppable chain of events that then endangers the entire auditorium...
We won't know until we go in.
I would like to call Emily.
Phone a friend. That's an interesting mechanic.
As soon as the phone rings, I pick up. What's up, Essie?
Hi, got Rasmus.
Okay, good. Oh, good.
We're a little ways away from the party, but there's one of the bathrooms the light is on. But this isn't the staff bathroom, and it's not the guest bathroom, and I found one of the little wax crayons, red wax crayons, on the floor, nearish this lit, but shouldn't be lit bathroom. Should I go in? Oh, I should totally go
Essie,
in.
I know you. You're gonna go in there before I get there, but I'm gonna grab, where are you? I'm gonna grab Marina. We're gonna get there as soon as we can.
Did you just remember you get extra experience from
rushing
in?
Yeah, I just remembered I get extra experience from rushing in. Okay, well, since you said I should go in.
twist my rubber arm.
Twist my rubber arm. Here, just talk to Rasmus, and I'll hand Rasmus the phone. I'm going to walk up to the door.
Hi.
Hey, Rasmus, whereabouts are you?
Hallway that is gray.
You're on the phone, and Essie is rushing in.
Yes.
All right, are you just like...
Don't worry, I'll check it out, and I mark experience for...
Are you just like kicking the door in like Rambo, or are you sneaking in?
No, I'm gonna like sneak up and like it pushes in, right? So I'll like push it in with my left hand and like peer around the door.
So give me an act under pressure.
Does this count as somewhere or something scary?
You had reason to be unnerved.
Okay. Because then I get experience.
Rasmus is going to look for an identifying mark somewhere around.
Just start, like, reading off names off the graduating class. In the hallway with Albert Stevens and
I do like that
Alan Benson.
While you're doing that, I'm trying to convince you to read the year, the graduating year, because, like, I can kind of use that to... I
haven't gotten down that far yet.
Presumably there's like a classroom number I can give Emily.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, we're beside class 9F.
Okay, perfect. I'll be right there with Morena.
In the meantime, Essie rolled a 7 in her act under pressure.
Oh, that wasn't an act under pressure. I didn't.
That wasn't?
That was my sharp roll for...
Oh!
I will do my act under pressure then. I was
because you're trying to be sneaky.
Yeah.
Alright, give it a roll.
Roll plus cool. 12! I'm so cool.
Yeah, MI6 calls and offers you a job.
Yeah. It's the skateboard.
On a 10+, you do what you set out to do. So you sneak up to the door, and you're like slicing the pie like fucking Sam Fisher here. And you push the door open just a crack, and you can actually see one, well, presumably a man in a black suit, like a dark suit. And there is someone in front of him that he's holding up against the wall.
Holding how? Like by the throat, by the shoulders?
Kind of like hand wrapped up in their collar. So like push them up against the wall and they're sliding down the wall.
Is he like holding them up in place or they're just like slowly falling?
They're sliding down. Like he doesn't have the arm strength to just like hoist a person right off the ground. And since you rolled well, I'll give you like the whole scene there. It looks like it's one of the waitstaff, you know, some young guy in a white shirt who just seems totally out of it right now.
Is he the one holding or being held?
He is the one being held. And then the person in the dark suit, the older man in the dark suit, you notice has a rather mean looking, like a Bowie knife in his right hand. What do you do?
Gonna check to see if I've got any cool things that will help me first.
Did you bring your skateboard to this swanky soiree?
No, I didn't bring my skateboard or my nunchucks or my pocket knife. I am...
Oh my god, try to sneak the skateboard in. You just got like little frillies around the outside like a table.
Yeah.
Look, it's fancy.
I am super unarmed and I don't recognize either of them.
You rolled high. It's the person you bumped into. The person in the suit with the knife is the guy you bumped into.
Louis!
Well, the person Emily bumped into, right?
Essie bumped into him as well.
I backed into him.
Shh, it's the same person, don't tell her.
Well, my next question was going to be, because Essie was kind of like, wait a second. Because she was going to try and describe the guy that she bumped into, but then they're all old guys in suits.
Yeah, middle-aged white guy.
Well, he has a bruise on his cheek, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. You can't see that part of him, though.
I'm just going to go, no, yeah, I'm going to do it. I'm going to go, oh! Gosh, I thought this was the ladies' room.
All right, I want to make you roll for this. Man, it feels like a protect someone.
I think so, maybe.
But that's really plus tough.
It would probably be manipulate someone, wouldn't it?
No. That feels different. This is like I think this is an act under pressure if you're trying to say it in such a way to catch them off guard.
Yeah, to either get him to like drop the waiter or like, oh dear, and like sheath the knife to hide it.
Yeah, so this roll will determine how he reacts to your exclamation.
Plus cool. Gotta be cool. I'm cool. 9!
9's pretty cool.
I'm pretty cool.
So the keeper is going to give you a worse outcome, a hard choice, or a price to pay. So this isn't a huge bathroom. Like, it is multi-stall, but it's only, like, 2 stalls. So your price to pay will be if you decide, like, he is not far away from you. He doesn't know you're there right now. If you shout out to him, you're pretty sure because there's one person who's unconscious and there's one person who sees what he's doing right now and he's got a big goddamn knife. So...
Do I think he's gonna stab the waiter or stab me?
You're pretty sure if you pull his attention, he is gonna come straight at you.
Mm, Yep.
You going for it?
Hoping I'm quick.
Okay.
Oh, I'm good. Yeah, it's price to pay. Yeah. No. Yeah, no, she's gonna do it. That's what she does.
All right. So when you shout out, he actually is startled. He drops the waiter, and as he turns around, he just lets fly with the knife. And it just swings right past and actually gashes your arm and sticks in the door next to you.
Perfect. I mean, not perfect. How much harm?
You take one harm from that. I'm not going to give you too hard a price on that because you did still succeed.
Can Rasmus walk into the door at that moment?
Yeah, Rasmus. You hear Essie kind of shout, well, shout a little bit, and then shout a little bit more. And you see her kind of fall back as a knife apparently hits the door.
So I was walking in the door anyway, right around that moment. So I'll just be like, okay, Favel, see you later, Emily. And then put the phone away into the little magic space I have.
That's my phone.
And then be like, hey, why are you attacking Essie? She didn't do nothing to you.
So he is already coming down. He basically turned, threw the knife, and is walking directly towards the door. Like fucking T-1000.
Okay, but as I'm talking to him, I can soothe them, and I can block all the negative anger, panicky emotions he has. So I'm just going to keep talking to him, because I want to figure out what's going on before I hit him with a hammer.
You may not have actually improved your situation with that.
That's fine. I mean, it is what it is.
Yep, because this particular person was kind of stressed out and panicky about what he is planning to do, and now you've basically calmed him, so now he's just determined. So he's going straight for the knife. What do you do?
Am I fast enough to...
I'm gonna grab the knife and disappear it.
Okay, give me an act under pressure as you both reach for it.
8.
All right, as you both go grabbing for the knife at the same time, neither one of you actually gets a good hold on it, and it falls to the ground. So you don't have it, but neither does he at this exact moment.
Can Essie grab it?
Give me an act under pressure.
Be cool. Not cool. That's a 6.
So they both reach for the knife. It falls. They knock it out of the door. It hits the ground. Essie, as you bend down to pick it up, he just comes back with his right foot and just smashes you in the face with it.
Hold on. If he's going to kick some ass, I want to protect someone as a response.
Okay.
And I have always the victim. When another hunter uses protect someone to protect you, they mark experience.
And I got a 9.
You get to mark experience, Rasmus.
Awesome. Thank you very much. So I do protect them okay, but I suffer whatever harm they were going to get, which I assume I negate with my divine armor.
Yeah. So basically you bring up a knee as he's about to kick her in the face, and he just ends up kicking you in the shin.
That's fine. I'm going to kick some ass to back him the fuck off.
Sure.
Another 9.
So I think that's just trading harm.
That's fine. My harm's bigger than his.
Yep, that's probably likely.
Because I have a 3 harm stun holy thunder hammer.
All right, you got the hammer out?
Yeah, because with what I need when I need it, I can just kind of poof it into my hand, right?
Yeah, and you're trading harm. Same thing. He kind of comes back with a hard left punch and basically hits you in the head, not that you'd notice it. And when he sees that, like, the last 2 fairly strong hits have had no effect on you, he actually backs off a bit. So he gets out of your immediate arm's reach.
He doesn't get completely fucked up by the thunder hammer hit?
It definitely makes him think twice. It hurts pretty bad. Wait, you said it had stun too, didn't it?
Yeah.
So yeah, you hit him hard. It doesn't seem to strike for quite as much as you would have thought, but it definitely lays him back, and he is no longer coming towards you at this moment. He's trying to gather himself. Upright, but dazed. I'd say right about here, this would be where Emily and Morena would show up.
Da, 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 da. I'm assuming I come around the corner to fightin's.
Well, yeah, Rasmus and Essie are in the doorway, and they seem to be engaged with someone.
Essie would be cradling her bloody arm and, like, trying to get out of the bathroom.
They always put the focal point in the shitter.
So yeah, we've got Essie in pretty bad shape. Rasmus seems not at all assed with it. Emily, Morwena, you want a piece of this?
I'm going to run over to Essie real quick. Like, how bad is your arm, Essie?
It was 1 harm. I've still got all my other ones.
Yeah, it's a big gash, though, for 1 harm. Like,
yeah, like, it's enough that she can cause panic in large groups of people if she wants.
So I think just the first thing that I want to do is, if it's really, really big, I don't, like, I would have a handkerchief in my bag. that I would want to maybe wrap it up with, if it's big enough, if not. So that's kind of what I'm trying to figure out.
Sure. I don't think we really need to roll for that. She's not in any particular danger right now, so it's not like we're not...
I'm going to get Emily's attention and pull out from the magical space I have a little pocket first aid kit.
Okay, I will grab that from you, and I will try to pull Essie out of the situation so that we can just wrap that up and, like, put some, I don't know, hydrogen peroxide or whatever you need to prevent infections.
Sure. Morwenna?
Is the dude still in the room? Like, threatening dude?
Yeah, you can see him inside there. You can see the waiter collapsed up against the far wall.
I'm going to try and use magic to see if I can trap him. Either by, I don't know, maybe forcing his arms to stop moving so he's stuck.
To try and bind him?
Yeah, like, bind invisible magic-wise. And I have that forward to my magic because of my lore library. So, plus weird, plus one. 10.
All right.
Nice.
I think that's just a full-on success.
Yeah, I'm going to trap him in his own body. So I like to think that Morwenna just comes around the corners, everyone's screaming and putting, like, band-aids on, and she just, like, looks in the room and goes, fuck this.
All right. So you can see he had one hand holding his shoulder from where Erasmus hit him, and then as you lock in on him, his arms, like, at the elbow, kind of like if you threw a lasso around him, just kind of lock straight down. And he tenses up, just stands ramrod straight. And yeah, he can't move.
I'm going to go in the room and see if I can suss out the focal point. And if I can't, I'm going to start interrogating with my big, wimpy old lady arms.
So how are you doing that?
I mean, I guess if it's not immediately apparent visually, then it must be some sort of magical marking. Guinness, get off my papers. Thank you. Asshole. I don't know, I don't know if that would be an investigate.
Yeah, let's give an investigate.
Yeah, because you could ask what's concealed here.
And kind of treat it like interrogating him.
10.
Nice. He's bringing the hurt. So you hold 2.
All right, so I guess, yeah, what's concealed? So I can find that focal point.
Okay, then I can tell you this. The focal point is not being concealed here.
Son of a bitch.
You still hold 1.
I guess then what happened here? What are you doing? What are you doing? Why are you beating up on some poor waiter?
Because it doesn't matter anyway.
Oh, come on. I think life is pretty pointless, but it all kind of matters.
Yet it doesn't matter for them. It... There's... We all need to make sacrifices when there's... Nothing you can fight against.
That was a pile of jargon.
Yeah, I'll be honest. You really didn't tell us anything. You mind being a little less cryptic?
He's not exactly in pain, but he is restrained right now, having difficulty breathing, clearly, and not at all happy about his current situation.
Emily, what's Morwenna looking for?
So we know that there's some kind of focus or focal point for this.
So you found more symbols?
We did. There's pretty much like one in every corner of the building, and they're all the same. So we know it's like trying, I don't know, trap everyone in the building, I think. I don't know.
Is it around the gymnasium?
Yeah.
Emily, I think it's the lighthouse. It's in the center of the room. If there's 4 symbols around the gym...
We have to go!
And Essie's going to run.
Yeah, I yelled at Morwenna, the lighthouse!
Alright, dearie, have a good time. And then I run over after them. The dearie was to the fella I'm leaving, bound in the bathroom.
I'm just gonna hang here for 1 second. I want to walk up to the guy and be like, I don't know whose side you're on, but you gotta be more polite.
Yeah. Be polite to Krill. That's all.
Well, I don't know what Krill are.
Just say excuse me. I'm coming through now. That's... Yeah, that'll work. Just be polite. Why didn't I think of that?
You know, sarcasm in this circumstance, not really gonna help you.
There's not a whole lot that's going to help me.
Are you trying to stop the giant mass murder that's about to happen, or are you trying to make it happen?
If we give up a few, we can save more. There's nothing we can do to fight it. We should just... It's only a few. No one would notice. No one would really care.
I don't know how many people you're going to sacrifice, but I can tell you one thing. I am trying to bring about the end of the world, and still trying to save as many people as I can. So you need to get your priorities in check, frankly.
He believes you because that's true. There's a power bigger than us. It eats people. It takes them at random. It's been here for a very long time. But sometimes when it eats a lot, it doesn't come back for a very long time. So all we need to do is just give it a meal, and then more people will be saved.
You know, when I was a boy, we had a raccoon who would eat all of our food stores in the wintertime. So we poisoned all of our food stores, and we never had the problem again.
You don't understand. You can't poison. You can't fight it. There's nothing to fight.
So what do you presume to tell me to do? How do I solve this?
Let me finish what I'm doing. You can get away. You can take your friends away. I don't care. 400. 404. It doesn't matter that much. Just take them and go. Let me finish. We'll be gone.
He's restrained, correct?
Morwenna was restraining him. So I guess until she uses magic for something else, we can maintain that.
I'm going to give him a coup de grace and knock him the fuck out. And because I'm contrary, when I earnestly seek out and receive someone's advice on the best course of action and then do something completely different, I'm going to mark experience. Because I did legitimately want to know what his answer was. And then I can take one ongoing on any moves I make pursuing that ulterior course. So now I'm going to book it to the lighthouse.
So everybody runs back to the lighthouse?
Oh, wait, there I go. How are we going to get everybody out of the gym?
Fire alarm! Sorry, I'm Morwenna. Fire alarm.
That's definitely better than the idea I was going to suggest. As we're running, if I see a fire alarm, can I just pull it?
Yeah. You want to pull a fire alarm? Go for it.
I'm about to ruin a bunch of very expensive dresses. Pull the alarm.
I don't know if pulling the alarm immediately triggers the sprinklers. I think the sprinklers would be heat activated, because you only want to set off sprinklers where the fire is, especially in a big building. That's what I'm going with. So yeah, you set off the alarm and everybody goes running. It's a panic.
At the disco.
Well, actually, people are kind of confused. Yeah, and then they start to move.
I mean, if someone wants to start yelling to follow fire alarm procedures, I mean, that wouldn't be a bad order.
I feel like that would be something the staff would have to do.
I don't know if we're all the way at the gym yet, but pretty close, I'd imagine.
If you're going to pull the fire alarm, can you give me an act under pressure?
Sure. Plus cool. 6!
No!
More experience!
So, just as you're about to pull the fire alarm, you actually see Jerry. Your hand is on the alarm, and Jerry is coming down the hallway. Esther, what the hell are you doing?
Jerry!
Don't screw around with the... Come on, I let him in.
I'm gonna hold up my bloody arm.
What the fuck is that? Did you fucking do this?
No, there is a madman in one of the off-limits bathrooms who had a Bowie knife, and I think he's gonna try and sacrifice the masses to some sort of, I don't know, demon god. Anyway, gotta get the people in the danger zone out of the danger zone so that we can eliminate the danger. It's related to the thing earlier, I promise.
So if I help out and bring that number to a 7, does that make this easier for her? Or I just lean in and go, yes, demons.
Give me another trust me roll.
So that one is plus charm, which I am slightly better at.
Because, like, letting someone sneak in the back, that's kind of, but you're kind of bloodied.
That would be a 7.
Okay.
So they ask a hard question, stall or dither, have a better idea. Better is only in single quotes, so it might not be quite as sarcastic as I'm making it sound.
No, I think it's probably meant to be that sarcastic.
Perfect.
I feel like he would call the cops. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's exactly what he would do. Like, Esther, we can't have people just running out into the friggin' snow. All right, if you think there's something wrong, I'll call the police. We'll get everybody moved out. All right?
Can just... I go look at the lighthouse, please.
What do you... It's a sculpture. Fine, whatever. Just don't pull any fire alarms, all right? I'm going to go talk to the management. We'll get everybody moved out in an orderly fashion, all right?
Yes, perfect.
It's for me. I have a very fondness of maritime architecture.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
It's for my aunt here.
Yeah, it seems like a great time to take in some architecture.
Yes.
He's walking down the hall. He's pulling out his phone and talking
to
his manager.
I'm an accountant. I'm sorry, I'm not good at these things.
And Essie is going to, like, walk. She's going to do, like, I'm walking calmly. But, like, very quickly. But, like, definitely not like the thing you do when, like, you see kids and they start running down the hall and they go, no, running. But then they do this weird, like, jaunty walk. She's doing the weird jaunty walk.
While Essie was going to pull the fire alarm, I had just continued on towards the lighthouse.
So you have arrived at the lighthouse.
And I've noticed that the alarm has not been set.
It has not. People are still milling about. Actually, Daniel Richards himself is just now taking the stage. He's in his early 70s at this point. Like a big bald patch on his head, just gray hair that goes around the outside, a gray beard. He stands about 4'6", but is well known across the country for his deep voice and his long-abiding love for his adopted hometown. And he starts playing as you get to the lighthouse.
As soon as he does that, I would like to try and... I think this would be psychically manipulate him. I want him to basically, in the microphone, say something along the lines of, everybody, we need to get out of here. It's an emergency.
You can't use your psychic powers in the Great Hall.
Okay, yeah, that's what I thought would happen.
Because of the previous problems you were having with those symbols. It's not pleasant. It's a good plan.
When that kind of realizes it, I try to, like, just keep myself together, and I'm going to start really investigating the lighthouse. So that would be investigate a mystery?
No, I would say if you're looking specifically at this, and you've kind of got an idea for the kinds of things you're looking for, you notice that there's almost like a channel around the outside of the lighthouse, like down around the base, just kind of like sitting on the rock-shaped structure that it's on. There's just a little channel around it that actually, there's one little point underneath that goes in. And if you glance in through one of the little model windows on the side, you can actually see a much more complex summoning circle, very similar to the ones you've seen. Like, you see a lot of the same elements, but this one, you can tell, this one's made to do shit.
What does the little lighthouse look like it's made out of?
It's a wooden lighthouse. It's not like a perfect architectural scale model, right? It's made with slats of wood, kind of a artistically architectural representation. Kind of like if it was made out of giant matchsticks, that sort of thing.
Lighthouse-esque.
Yeah, it evokes the appearance of a lighthouse. And you also notice, well, I mean, it's not hard to see. It's pretty prominently written on there. There's a little plaque on the front that says the Balsam Port Beacon, Louis Starling, 2019.
Does the name Louis Starling mean anything to me?
I wouldn't think
so. That's just maybe the artist or something.
Yeah, you would assume that's the person who built it.
Okay. I think I would like to try and read a bad situation here.
Sure.
So let's roll some sharp. Huzzah!
Nice.
11.
All right, so you hold 3.
So the first question that I have with regards to this lighthouse is, what is most vulnerable to me on this lighthouse?
Most vulnerable to you would be the summoning circle, I suppose. It appears to be written in the same sort of grease pen as everything else. And from your knowledge of circles and sigils, they have to be correct or they don't work.
I would like to also ask, what's the best way to protect the victims?
It would be to neutralize the beacon. Since you now know that those outside points are meant to focus this, neutralizing this makes those, I wouldn't exactly say impotent, but they're not really doing anything. It's a fence with no bull. You still hold
I'm
one.
I'm going to hold on to it for just a little bit here, I think.
I was really hoping you were going to say, what's my best way in, so I could suggest the teeny tiny door at the bottom.
I did see that question and think about it. So, grease pencils or whatever, like, is that something that's easy to smudge, or...
Yeah, it doesn't really dry. I mean, it gets everywhere. Like, it'd be all over your fingers, but it doesn't dry so much.
Okay, so that's what I'm going to try and do. I'm just going to try and take my thumb and, like, press into it and just rub it back and forth to try and cut the circle.
Okay, and you do manage to actually disrupt the circle. And you can feel the pressure immediately fade. There's actually a bit of a static buzz up your arm when you do it from breaking the circle. But yeah, the claustrophobia that was pushing in on you and the body heat goes away. And there is just a sudden rush of everybody's minds around you, which you haven't been feeling for the past little while.
Yeah, and that would be a lot in an instant.
It would be quite a bit,
yes.
There's
a reason I tend to try and avoid busy places. So I guess I would like to redeem my last point and just say, what's the biggest threat at the moment?
Currently, there is nothing really threatening
you. Perfect. Just a bunch of loud noise and me needing to step away from that.
Yeah, just your general introverted nature. Turns out the biggest threat was other people.
As is often the case.
Turns out it was man.
Once I gather my bearings, I'm going to actually, like, break the circle in a couple more places, just in case.
There's only, like, so much that you can really reach.
I'm basically going to break it wherever I can reach. And I'm going to wait for Essie and Morwenna and Rasmus to get there.
And it's just at this time, the music abruptly stops.
Record scratch?
Yeah, someone wheels out a turntable, does a record scratch, wheels it back out. And then just at that, Daniel up on stage says, seems we've got, sorry to interrupt everyone, could I have your attention? There seems to be, a bit of a situation unfolding. I'm sure it's nothing to be too worried about, but they're asking us to all move to the building next door, over to the athletics department. So, yes, if everyone wouldn't mind, you can grab your coats. It's just a quick jog across the yard. We'll get this cleared up here shortly. I'm sure it's nothing to worry about. And people are miffed, look very confused, but you see them all start to kind of move in that general direction.
Can I run and find Jerry super quick?
Yeah, you see him. He's actually at one of the doors, kind of one of the far doors, like far from where everybody else is heading to kind of encourage people to move in that direction.
I'm gonna like run up to him and be like, Jerry, great job calling the cops, getting everyone hustled out.
Yeah.
Good news. Only good news. Danger's gone, I think. Gotta double check with my sources. Other good news? The guy with the Bowie knife is probably still in the bathroom with the Bowie knife. So, you know, you'll have all the evidence.
One, guy with the Bowie knife. What?
She points to her arm. Turns out...
Christ's sake, Esther.
Was just crazy guy with the Bowie knife.
Just. Okay. Just. Sure.
Yeah, I mean, could have been hell. But great job. You know, take full credit for that. It'll look real good as security guy. Get you the big promotion, if that's what you're into. I don't know. But yeah, you stop the guy with the Bowie knife. He's in, and I'll let him know which bathroom he is in. I'm assuming he's still gonna be there. He might. I don't think we left anyone to watch him, but he was kind of indisposed. So, there was also a waiter that was unconscious also in that bathroom. Probably want to check on him.
You didn't tell me... For fuck's sakes, Esther.
It was not the most pressing issue at the time, Jerry. And I would use your full name if your full name wasn't already Jerry. That's the sitch. I'm gonna, like, clear up the deets with my people about the weird stuff and the potential hell and demons. But, you know, guy with the Bowie knife, unconscious waiter, probably your top priority. And then everything will be peachy keen.
All right. And he's heading down the hallway in that direction.
And I'll run back to Emily and Morwenna.
So the general crowd is moving out of the hall right now. Probably about half of them have made it at this point. You can see a lot of the performers are kind of hanging, like the performers and the restaurateurs letting the guests leave first. They're kind of hanging back a little bit, but everyone is definitely moving in that direction.
When I get there, I'm going to be like, Emily, where the hell is everyone going?
Daniel Richard said that there was a situation and that everybody needed to be relocated to the building just outside there. Just, I think, for an interim while they fix the situation. I assume that was just Essie pulling the alarm or whatever, but I didn't hear the alarm.
Did you make him say that?
No, I was going to do something like that there, but it was before I broke the circle.
This is fucked. No, the other room is bad. We need to get over there and stop them from going
in.
Oh
my god, you're right.
I'm just going to start booking it towards the head of the crowd.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're shoving your way up to the front?
Yeah, well, I'm going to try and use my soothe, because, like, I assume people have negative emotions, and I need them to think clearly right now. So I'm going to be like, okay, everybody, like, can I just get everyone to listen to me? Thank you, please, thank you. We can't go to the other area, because you are all going to be murdered and fed to some kind of ancient, horrible thing.
Everyone is very confused by this proclamation.
I recognize that this isn't something you're used to. I am. So, maybe let's all just work together with the crazy Danish guy.
As he's gonna run back up to Emily. Great news! So Jerry called the cops to get everyone rank. What's Rasmus doing?
Everybody's being moved to the other building. Rasmus made a very good point that they might just have this same exact trap set up in this other building.
While this is all happening, I'm heading to the other building quickly, trying to get through everybody.
You do manage to push through the crowd and get over to the athletic side, which is actually literally a basketball court.
Is there another lighthouse or thing in the middle that could be used as a focal point?
There are some strange archaic markings on the floor. You don't totally understand them. They're pretty much foreign to you.
Are they basketball court markings?
They appear to bisect the floor in half. There's a large circle in the middle.
I love that we were all thinking the same joke.
Y'all come in. I'm like searching through five books. Like, what the fuck does this mean?
This appears to summon something called a globetrotter.
Yes, yes, this line here.
I don't think we could defeat this.
This is the 3-point line.
It's pure evil.
Magic Johnson? We can't defeat this.
He's a being of magic.
No. There are no mysterious lighthouses in here.
And everything just seems chill and cool.
Yeah, I mean, there are many more fancily dressed people than you would expect to see on a basketball court, but other than that, nothing weird.
All right, I guess I'll go back and let Rasmus know that it looks like the coast is clear. Just old lady busts in the door. Wah! Oh, it's fine. Bye.
As you're coming back, you can actually see approaching from the other side is Jerry, who has the waiter just kind of supported under his arms. The waiter's pretty out of it, but kind of moving his feet. And he's coming up to you. Esther, what
yeah?
The fuck happened? Mark is drugged off his fucking ass right now.
I don't know. I just walked into the bathroom and some guy was holding a Bowie knife up to him. And then he came at me with the Bowie knife.
Yeah, I found the fucking knife. I didn't find anyone else in there. There's just a bunch of fucked up tiles and blood on the floor. I don't know what the fuck you guys did.
We didn't do that one.
And then Mark off his ass on fucking horse tranquilizers or some shit in the corner.
Right. I'd tell you, but you probably wouldn't believe me, and I also probably don't have the right answer. So, magic?
Yeah, fucking magic.
You know what I love about that? That's the most honest and also, like, completely defeatist position to take for this whole thing. Like, I don't know, maybe.
I gotta get him to a fucking medic or something. Just do that. When the police get here, you've gotta fucking talk to them. What the hell happened? And he's now off again, carrying Mark with him.
Turn to Marina. So, the guy with the Bowie knife is gone. Apparently the tiles are fucked up and there was blood everywhere. So I'm guessing whatever he was gonna feed didn't get fed and, had a snack.
That's a little bit concerning.
Mm-hmm. But it didn't eat hundreds of people at the fanciest event of the year.
No, but that seems like something we should still be worried about.
Yeah, we should probably keep an eye out for that one. Maybe Morwenna can write it in one of her fancy books.
I will write it in one of my fancy books.
See? I'm learning.
And it's at about this point, the last few people are getting out the door and going across to the athletics building when the police cars show up, with the officers now sweeping the area. Are y'all planning on sticking around?
No, if everybody else is leaving, I kind of leave with them.
Emily, Morwenna, you know the spookies. Does it feel like this has been unspooky?
I mean, the magic that was in the air is definitely gone, but something still feels off, I think. It's too easy.
Yeah, but We should probably go before the cops get in here.
I specifically want to see if there's something wrong about the secondary location, because that still feels super wrong to me. And I'm not quite sure what move I should be using. I guess read a bad situation, but reading it based on the basketball court, I guess.
So if you want to go over to that side?
Well, I was trying to convince people not to go, and they seemed to not listen to me, despite the fact that I was clearly willing to answer any questions they had.
I suppose.
Question. My contrary gives me a +1 ongoing to any moves that make pursuing that course, and the course I was taking was to try and fight and prevent the eating. Would I still get to hold the +1 ongoing?
No. I don't think you would at this point.
So a 7 then for a read bad situation.
I guess it wouldn't have mattered anyway. So you get to hold 1. So let's see. Are there any dangers we haven't noticed? Is that...
Yeah, that's I think what I'm going to go for.
Well, I mean, that's pretty straightforward. No. There is nothing out of place over in the athletics department.
Okay. I'm going to try and get back to the girls then and then suggest we boogie.
Take a vote. Everybody boogieing?
Yep.
I am boogieing.
Yeah, I think so.
You leave. You manage to just walk away. The police aren't exactly on high alert because they just had a vague thing. You come to find out the next day that there was an attack on someone in one of the bathrooms. They attacked one of the waitstaff. All the guests were okay. All those very rich, important people are fine. It seems like someone got into a fight with one of the waiters. They're not entirely sure what happened. Notably, the only person currently unaccounted for is Louis Starling, the person who was commissioned to make the lighthouse display for the middle of the hall there, which is unfortunate. He was a well-respected, I'm not exactly sure what the right term would be, but again, that kind of architectural sculptor, model maker type guy. He liked to make kind of slightly weird scale models of buildings, and that's how he got this job to make that lighthouse. And he is the only one currently unaccounted for, although there was a very significant amount of blood, and we're going to play CSI and pretend like they did this overnight. Blood that matches his. So there is an ongoing investigation trying to find out what happened
to him. I assume there's like pictures of him being kind of posted and stuff, and it's the guy that I bumped into and that was in the bathroom there.
Mr. Bumper Car himself.
Yeah.
He's the one who built that lighthouse, and there's definitely no way that would have been easy to like draw that circle
without being the one in charge of the lighthouse.
Yeah.
He's also the one that came at me with the Bowie knife, so yeah, I don't think he...
That's all right, he got sacrificed.
Yeah.
We're like the next day, right?
Yeah, we're kind of in a never time at this point.
Whenever like I have a free moment at work or anything like that there, I'm gonna start kind of researching him and any of his pieces of art and where they might be.
There's nothing that really stands out. I mean, he's kind of your bog standard artist type person. He's involved in some environmental charities, a bunch of local charities, because he is, you know, one of those homegrown types. He's got art installations. He did a lot of stuff. None of it was really like permanent installations. You know, like a lot of what he built would have been just raw wood that would rot and break down over time. You know, he builds things up, they rot, and it's just the way it goes. Yeah, and he's had displays all over the country. A well-respected artist.
Yeah, nothing that would give the impression of someone involved in dark magic or anything like that.
It didn't appear in his biography on Wikipedia, no. No, like, early life, career, schooling, dark magic affiliations, first
marriage.
Looking
at pictures of, like, his other sculptures or whatever, like, there was no obvious magic circle type.
No, I mean, a lot of his stuff tended to be models of landmarks, you know, usually done in that kind of rough wooden style. Yeah, so I mean, you have completed this adventure. I never know how to end these.
Dun, dun, dun!
Or have you? Twist!
If I've learned anything over my years, and I haven't.
Thanks for listening.
Are you tired of listening to music or podcasts on your daily commute? We're offering fans of The Group Project a 1-month free trial to Inaudible. Inaudible is the premier destination for audiobooks and podcasts developed entirely outside the audible range of human hearing. Enjoy not hearing audiobooks and podcasts from famous voices that you'll love not to hear, like Gilbert Gottfried, Roseanne Barr, or Fran Drescher. Inaudible. Silence is the new noise.
If you like this episode, please leave us a review wherever you listen to your podcasts. Share it with your friends. You can also check out our website, thegroupproject.com, because we post stuff there sometimes. A huge thank you to Too Mellow for letting us use the song Accept Myself from the album Mindstreaming Volume 1. If you like it, check it out at toomellowmakes.bandcamp.com. That's number 2, M-E-L-L-O, makes.bandcamp.com. Thanks for chipping in on The Group Project.